Good morning, and I'd like to welcome all of you to our worship this morning and pray God's blessing upon our worship. Just a couple of announcements to draw to your attention. First of all, I am Pastor Ken Carlson, and I am substituting this morning for Pastor Dawn, who is sitting about 30 feet from us here, but she has a well-deserved Sunday off. Also to Hal Halverson, who is substituting for the normal organist, Colin Welford. Colin's father passed away yesterday in England, and he is now with his family over there for that time. Also to Pamela Johnson, our flutist for today. Thank you, Pamela, for being here. And to Sherry Moore, who is our reader for today. And Sherry will begin our worship with the watchword for the week.
Thank you. Our watchword for the week is taken from the prophet Ezekiel. God says, I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. Please join us in singing the first three verses of Name of All Majesty.
Continue our worship as we share in a time of prayer, bringing our concerns and our celebrations and thanksgivings to God. We have prayer concerns this morning for the family of Michael Welford, Colin's father, for the family of Nancy Davis, longtime friend of this church, and John, who was the former postmaster of Ephraim for several years. We think also of Molly, friend of the Carey family, sudden illness, in serious condition. Kevin awaiting a transplant. Cancer for Rhea and Dean. For Carter, recovering from a car accident. For children, Jaden, Madeline, Tristan, and Noah. We pray for our country these days. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, before we even bring our words to you, you know what's in our heart. You know our concerns. You know our joys and our sorrows. To the families that we have mentioned of Michael and Nancy and John, people who have died, left their families, we pray, Lord God, that you will bless their memories to those families, keep them in your eternal care. And Lord God, for Molly, sudden illness and serious condition, for Kevin awaiting transplant, for Rhea and Dean, for Carter, for Jaden, Madeline, Tristan, and Noah, Lord God, you do know their hearts. You know their conditions. You know what they need above all people. And so, God, minister unto them with your power and your strength and your grace. Minister to their families, bringing them your presence. And Lord God, we pray for our country. Our country that is struggling mightily in these days. There are days of a great pandemic that rages on in our country and continues to increase daily. Lord God, give us a clear mind, give us a clear will, give us an understanding of what we must do as people of this country, as people of the world, to bring this under some semblance of control. We pray for peace among the peoples of our country in these days of transition. And so, Heavenly Father, there are so many other concerns that have not been spoken of at this time. People who have concern for family, for friends. We lift them before you, Heavenly Father. Meet us all with your heavenly presence, we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from the 95th Psalm. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, for above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thank you. The reflection is written by Reverend Corey Kemp. It is so very important to remember just how powerful God really is. Equally important is how powerful you become when you rely on God with thanksgiving and prayer in every circumstance of your life. Paul's words to the Ephesian church are directed to us as well as to this ancient congregation, reminding us of the power of God in, for, and among all of us. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God's power is always surprising, giving us more than we expect. God's power is extravagant, exceeding all our hopes and dreams. God's power is impartial, granting wisdom and deep knowing to anyone who cares to ask and receive. God's power and strength are always available for you, for all of us who believe. So how do we access this power, the same life-giving force that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? God is ready to reveal more when you are willing to see and receive what God has for you. The most simple, straightforward way to know God better is to say thank you for all that you have, all that you are, and all that God already allows you to be. Being grateful, expressing that gratitude to God, the giver of all things, helps you see God's power in action in your own life. Then, praying for other people that they may know God's hope and riches for them helps you to see beyond yourself to God's great inheritance for all, without partiality or limit. God is good, powerful, and gracious. Let us give thanks and pray for each other today and in all days to come.
The gospel lesson for this Christ the King Sunday is recorded in Matthew chapter 25. I begin reading at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing?
And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. That's the reading of our gospel for today.
My dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. As much as this year of 2020 has changed life so drastically for all of us, there are some things that remain constant, some things that can keep us grounded in these very difficult times. First of all, relationships. Think about relationships, the family members and friends that we all have, and how vital they are for us in these days. Those that are closest to us, those that we share in the most personal ways, they keep us grounded. Those we love most deeply and are loved most deeply in return. And although in these days we will be separated from many who are so dear to us, the miles cannot take away the bond of love that keeps each and every one of them steadfast within our hearts. Those people, even though we are missing them in person, nonetheless help to keep all of us grounded. Some of us have a little pet, or a big pet, whichever the case may be. Naomi and I happen to have a little dog by the name of Augie. Pets have a way of keeping us grounded. They're unconditional and undying love for us help keep us grounded. And even those routines of the day that they have and that we need to attend to keep us grounded. Thank God for those wonderful little friends that we have. But then thirdly, I want to say our faith. Our faith keeps us grounded greatly in these days. Our God and God's promises to us hold us secure. Isaiah chapter 40, God is writing to his people Israel at a time when they are struggling. The prophet Isaiah writes that word of God. And that same word is appropriate for us today, as we as a nation struggle to come to grips with this pandemic and other issues. And God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. That is a word of grounding from our God, who reminds us that we are in his care. I think of another grounding that happens for us in the seasons of the year. We are passing now from the latter part of fall, soon into winter, and then will come that lovely time of spring and summer again, and the seasons ground us. Keep us grounded. I think the seasons of the church year also, in a way, keep us grounded in that way. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Jesus is Lord, we say. This is the last Sunday of the church year. Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything has been leading up to this day, this culmination. Next Sunday begins Advent 1 and all of those preparations for his birth and for recognizing that he comes to us every day and that someday he will come again for us. And tucked in between this last Sunday of the church year and next Sunday, the first Sunday of the church year, we have Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a special time for us all to give thanks to God. For God is indeed good and gracious to all of his people. Many of us will not be spending Thanksgiving and or Christmas with our extended families. Naomi and I will not, and I suspect perhaps all of you may be in that same situation. But the essence of Thanksgiving and Christmas nonetheless make them still very special days, even though we are not experiencing them with that extended family. Because the nugget still remains there, doesn't it? Thanksgiving. God is so good. And God has blessed us so richly. Christmas. Emmanuel. God is with us. And the seasons of the year, church year, go on. But let me just back up for us then and center our thoughts on this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. In our text today, our gospel lesson, our King, our Lord says, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Those of you, in other words, who have been blessed, those of you who inherit that kingdom prepared for you, you are to be a blessing and to share that inheritance with others. He continues in that text, "For I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was a stranger, I was sick, I was in prison, and you ministered to me. And as you did it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. And as you have not done it, you have not done it unto me." Renowned Saint Mother Teresa was asked how she could work in those streets of Calcutta, picking the maggots out of the rotting flesh of the people. She said, "Simply because I am doing it for my Lord, as you have done it unto one of the least of these." Each and every person, regardless of our station in life, is incredibly important to God. 2 weeks after the terrorists bombed the Twin Towers of the Trade Center in New York, the family and friends and colleagues of those who had died gathered in Yankee Stadium for a service. Leaders of every religious faith participated, and perhaps the most memorable one, this person writes, was the one who helped us move on from the point of it being a national tragedy to the personal. Said this wise leader, "What we grieve here is not 3,000 deaths, but one death 3,000 times. It was not a statistic, but one father, one grandfather, who had died. It was not a number, but it was one fiance, one sister, one daughter who had died. God didn't just see the 3,000, but God saw the one 3,000 times. And the writer continues, I am so thankful that the God whom we celebrate is the God who not only loved the world, but loved the one. God puts the planets on their course, but he knows the very number of hairs on our head. God knows the hour of his son's return, and he also knows the number of the tears that we cry. And the bottom line is, God so loved the world, but he loved you so much because you were that one. You were that one. Today, God doesn't just see 255,000 people who have died from coronavirus in our country, but he sees that one healthcare worker, that doctor, that nurse, who in serving people, trying to bring them back to health, died in the process. He sees that grandmother or grandfather. He sees that mother, father, son, daughter, dying alone in that hospital room. Only the faithful staff attending to their death. God sees the one and grieves over that one. 255,000 times. You and I are collectively and individually very important to God. God so loved the world. But God also said, I called you by name, Ken, Pamela, and you are mine. And as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. The story is told of Leo Tolstoy, the famous Russian writer. He writes in one of his pieces of the legend of Martin, the cobbler, a lonely shoemaker who is promised a visit by our Lord that very day. And eagerly Martin waits that day long for that visit. The only ones who came were a man who was in need of shoes, a young mother in need of food and shelter, and a child in need of a friend. And Martin sends them away. At the end of the day, he thinks to himself, well, perhaps the Lord will come tomorrow. And the voice replies, I did come today, Martin. I came to you 3 times. It is possible for all of us to make a difference in the lives of people in a simple way. In the day in which we cannot go give them a hug, in the day of social distancing when we are distanced from a lot of people, perhaps a card that communicates thinking about you, perhaps a phone call expressing that same kind of sentiment. Perhaps it may be an email or a text. I miss you. Thinking about you. Or perhaps it's a prayer. It's possible for all of us to make a difference in the lives of other people. And as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. Amen. At this time, we sing hymn 403, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.